Hello, my friends. I can't believe how much has happened in 2024. So many things that we've covered as journalists and so many things that have actually happened to us, including to our star journalist, David Menzies. So today, we're going to have the best of 2024 so far. To see the video version of it, which I think is essential because so many of these stories happen out in the field, go to rebelnewsplus.com and click subscribe to get the video version. It's just $8 a month, which might not seem like a lot to you, but it really adds up for us. That's rebelnewsplus.com. All right, here's today's podcast. Tonight, it's already springtime. Let me show you the best rebel journalism so far in 2024.
Shame on you, you censorious thug.
I can't believe 2024 is already, about a quarter done. It's springtime already, and we've had such a busy year. I have, Sheila Gunn-Reed has, Alexa Lavoie, all our journalists. I think David Menzies has had the busiest of years, and we're just getting started. So for the next half hour or so, enjoy the best of 2024 so far.
I'm enjoying it, and I'm doing my best to be fair and friendly.
If this was Canada, you could have him arrested.
Did you see that? Your rival, Chrystia Freeland, had one of our reporters arrested.
I think she did.
She didn't say a word against it.
On the incident, as you guys know very well, Canada is a rule of law country. Canada is a democracy. Operational decisions about law enforcement are taken by the police of jurisdiction. Quite appropriately, political elected officials have no role in the taking of those decisions, and that's why I don't have any further comment.
It was the wrong thing. It was absolutely the wrong thing.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Look, freedom of the press. I've been a public figure in Canada, been a public figure in the UK. I know you got to answer tough questions, and you guys, you ask tough questions, and that's fair.
Well, I want to thank you for saying that, because I have to say, Chrystia Freeland has not yet said anything in the vein that you have. She's been happy to let the cops do her work for her, and if she disagrees with the cops, she hasn't said so.
Well, I've said what I said. But look, the questions you were asking earlier about energy, and I'm going to have to...
Well, thanks for your time. I really appreciate...
I appreciate...
Mark, come on.
Take care. Thank you.
David Menzies with Rebel News. Mr. Polyev, the Liberals use both a carrot and a stick to control journalists in Canada. Which of these carrots and sticks would you keep as Prime Minister, and which would you repeal?
Thank you. We are going to repeal C-11, the censorship law, which allows CRTC bureaucrats to secretly manipulate social media algorithms to promote certain information, demote other information, and censor certain things altogether. This is a form of censorship that exists nowhere in the democratic world. Right now, Justin Trudeau is censoring those that he disagrees with and trying to buy off the rest. And that undermines confidence among Canadians in the news media.
The worst part of C-21, which the whole bill is junk, but the worst part is it cements the handgun freeze in legislation, making it very complex and difficult, but not impossible to overturn. So that's the worst part. But yeah, it's a bill that directly targets licensed sport shooters and hunters instead of criminals.
Today forward, it is no longer legal to buy, sell, or transfer a handgun in Canada.
What I encourage people to do is get as much people out there getting their gun license, get as much people out there, because it's going to be a lot harder to take back if there's a lot of people that own guns.
Responsible, ethical gun owners aren't out there committing crimes.
We get a background check every day. My neighbor doesn't, but I do.
Justin Trudeau thinks that stopping crime means we have to take away Grandpa Joe's hunting rifle.
What do you want?
Justice!
When do you want it?
Palestine is not for sale!
Fire this corner house!
Go to the other side.
No, we're not in Gaza. We're not under Sharia law, sir.
They have every right to protest. They could do it at a peaceful place like City Hall, but not in front of a synagogue.
Is it possible that you're living on stolen land also, according to your very argument?
Can you give a ticket to this guy? He's idling his vehicle. Oh, sir. Sir, why are you idling your vehicle? There's a bylaw about that.
Oh, really? So basically, oh, you jacked up the car?
Another coward.
Now, if I go back the last 2 years, we were under policed, under emergency services, and under hospitalized. That's what we were told. Now, we're adding millions of people. Are we not going to be short? Either healthcare, police-wise, any of the functionality.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Hello, sir. Are you part of the Prime Minister's security detail?
Yeah, have a great day.
Yeah. It's just mind-blowing how they spend money every single time just giving to everybody for nothing.
Well, Canadians have a right to protest. Absolutely, to make their anguish, their anger heard by other Canadians. That's important, and we will always protect that right.
Tommy, I did a full show about your court hearing. It's going to be on my show tonight. But just for the folks on Twitter, what the hell just happened in there? What was that guy from the Evening Standard newspaper doing? I have never seen anything like it.
So I've gone into court. I've wrote my address down. Obviously, a threat to my life. People are aware of that. I've wrote my address down. The judge has my address. They've then argued that they want the address read out in public court. So then it's in public court. So then they can report. So when they do their report, they say Stephen Lennon of and give my exact address. That's what they're arguing.
Your address is not in the public interest. Nothing turns on it. There was no crime committed there. The police know where you live. The judge knows where you live. The lawyers know where you live. But this judge, this reporter,
the judge ruled, you have to now read out your address.
But what was crazy is this journalist just stood up and argued for 5 minutes that he has the right to let.
Know my address. And it's not like they don't. It's not like they're not aware there's threats to my life. That's why I stood up when the judge said, "Read your address." I said, "You want me to read out and endanger my family?"
And the judge knows the answer.
Yeah, she's got it in front of her. So again. This case is nothing to do with a dispersal order. This case, that incident there is nothing to do with justice. It's to do with damaging me, to endangering me. It's to do with an attack. This is an attack on freedom of speech. It's an attack on me personally. It's an attack on freedom of the press.
Gary Grimer, you're being issued a trespass notice.
I'm disappointed.
You know, it's just a great day. I just want to give glory to God. And it's just a day of victory that I felt very confident coming into today, then I thought, certainly, am I going to be, you know, now punished for praying silently in City Hall 10 months ago? Certainly not. I don't think that we've fallen that far quite yet. But, you know, hey, we're going to continue the fight and we're going to continue the battle here. And I just want to encourage everybody to stand on their God-given rights and convictions and just to keep living free.
Now, the origins of COVID-19, still a mystery, despite it killing almost 5 million people since December 2019.
This is the National Microbiology Lab in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It's Canada's only level 4 microbiology lab. It's also the only level 4 microbiology lab in the world that Chinese scientists outside of China had access to. This lab is also the site of an international espionage story, 5 years in the making, and a 3-year-long cover-up that goes all the way up to the Prime Minister's office. And that cover-up, as documents now show, involves gain-of-function research involving filoviruses from bats. Now, this lab is in a normal Winnipeg area. It's in a residential neighborhood. It's got businesses across the street, and it is near the head offices of Canada Blood Services. And this lab's proximity to all those locations should send a chill up your spine. Why? In 2019, two Chinese nationals working at the lab and their students were marched out of the building. They had been working with the Chinese military and transferring deadly pathogens, including Ebola, out of this lab and into the hands of the Chinese People's Liberation Army, with many of those deadly samples ending up in the hands of researchers at the Wuhan Virology Institute. The removal of Dr. Zhang Kuo-Kui and her husband from this lab triggered a Canadian Security Intelligence Services investigation. That investigation was called the 2020 Report on Review for Cause of Security Status. That report was hidden from the public for 3 years, but 600 pages of it were just made public, and it is damning.
We know as a country that increasingly countries like China and others are trying to either influence get secrets out of our country. And that's why we have to continue to be extraordinarily vigilant about how we're making sure we're doing everything necessary to keep people safe, to keep our research institutions safe.
Reporting on the documents by Sam Cooper from the Bureau revealed that Kui led the Wuhan Virology Institute's, quote, synthetic bat filovirus project with the Wuhan Institute's vice director, Dr. Shi Zhenli. She's known as the Bat Woman. Dr. Shi is the senior Chinese scientist that worked in 2015 on a controversial United States hybrid version of a bat coronavirus. The research, according to those CSIS records, was to assess cross-species infection and pathogen risks of bat filoviruses for future vaccine development purposes, which suggests that gain-of-function studies were possibly to take place. I'm going to walk you through the timeline, and you can draw your own conclusions, because we still don't know what's being covered up here at the National Microbiology Lab. Is it Justin Trudeau's own ineptitude and his complete and total disregard for the safety of Canadians? Or has Justin Trudeau been completely colonized by Beijing and the dictatorship that he admires so much, all to hang on to power? Or is this a cover-up of something much worse involving Canada, the United States, and China?
The information appears to be mostly about protecting the organization from embarrassment for failures in policy and implementation, not legitimate national security concerns, and its release is essential to hold the government to account. In other words, there was no national security reason why we couldn't have had this before. It was only because Trudeau didn't want the embarrassment.
According to the official timeline of the COVID-19 pandemic, cluster outbreaks began occurring in November and December in Wuhan, China, with the Wuhan Virology Institute, the suspected site of the release of the pathogen, intentional or otherwise. And as we all know, the global pandemic of COVID-19 was declared in March 2020, just a few short months later. But let's go back to Canada and this lab here. In June 2019, Dr. Kui, whose whereabouts are now unknown, her husband and her students were all marched out of the National Microbiology Lab and stripped of their security clearances for removing vials of some of the world's most deadly pathogens and then sending them to contacts in China. Fast forward to October 2019. China has either a problem or a plan. A whistleblower has alleged that the Chinese government intentionally spread COVID-19 at the October 2019 Military World Games in Wuhan, China. In a previous report, Rebel News revealed through a whistleblower that Canadian soldiers had been among those infected with severe respiratory illness at the October 2019 World Military Games in Wuhan, and that the Trudeau government had gone to extensive lengths to cover it all up. Either way, by November and December of 2019, COVID was on the loose and it was spreading across the world. Fast forward to June 2021, CSIS has wrapped up their investigation into the espionage at the lab behind us. But now, Ian Stewart, the president of the Public Health Agency of Canada, refuses 4 times to turn over the findings of the CSIS investigation to Parliament, becoming the first federal manager to be censured by Parliament since 1891. Then, 4 months after his censure, Stewart steps down and moves to the National Research Council. More recently, Stewart has just retired to a hero's send-off just weeks before 600 pages of the CSIS investigation into the lab that he oversaw were released to the public. Now, in that same month that Ian Stewart was censured, June 2021, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau sued the Speaker of the House, his own Liberal MP Anthony Rota, to block the release of those 600 pages of documents. Why? 6 weeks later, August 2021, Justin Trudeau calls a snap election, completely unnecessarily, in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, with multiple COVID restrictions in place in most jurisdictions. Oddly enough, while Justin Trudeau was holding a majority parliament. Moving ahead to 2023, it's now been credibly alleged that the Chinese government intervened on behalf of Trudeau and his federal liberals in that snap election in multiple ridings across the country, flipping potentially a dozen seats in favor of Justin Trudeau. It's odd, because it was an election he was set to win anyway. And while the Chinese government is credibly accused of meddling in the 2021 election, the Chinese government is simultaneously operating police stations on Canadian soil. So what was being grown in this lab by Cui and her team? What was being sent from this lab to the Wuhan Virology Institute, the place pinpointed now as the genesis of the global COVID-19 pandemic? And why, at the dawn of the pandemic, did Justin Trudeau give the Wuhan Institute of Virology $900,000 to investigate COVID-19? Did it have anything to do with Cui's research into bat filoviruses? Will we ever learn what Justin Trudeau knew? Will we ever learn why he acted so desperately to cover up and to continue to cover up what happened here in this lab? If Canada was truly the victim of espionage and not implicated in something far more sinister, why did our government go to such lengths to cover it all up? For Rebel News, in Winnipeg, at the National Microbiology Lab, I'm Sheila Gunn-Reid.
Let me tell you what's going on in Canada, because as I always say, what happens in Canada today may happen in the U.S. 5 years from now. It's like we're a bad time machine to see your future. This week, Justin Trudeau introduced a new bill called Bill C-63. It's got a lot of things in it that are atrocious. He's created a new hate crime bill, life in prison, new hate crime law. There's nothing that gets you life in prison in Canada, not even murder, but hate speech now does. He's created a pre-crime for hate. If you have, quote, fear of hate, that's the title of the section of the law, you can get a judge to issue a kind of restraining order against your enemy before he does anything, before he says anything. And that restraining order can include house arrest, giving up any lawful firearms, limiting who he can talk to directly or indirectly, limiting the places he can go, and requiring him to take urine and blood tests. Just because you are, quote, afraid he might in the future say some hate speech. He doesn't have to have done anything in the past. This is a pre-crime, like in that science fiction movie, Minority Report. That's in this bill. Let me tell you other things in this bill. Donald Trump and his travails with the U.S. legal system, they're covered a lot by the Canadian media. And Justin Trudeau's obsessed with Donald Trump. So he's been watching what Democrats have done, and he's learned from it. Trump is being prosecuted by high-profile prosecutors. Trudeau has one-upped that. Trudeau has now said that anyone in Canada, even non-citizens, can file hate speech complaints against anyone. And if they're successful, they get $20,000 from the target, and the target has to pay a fine of up to $50,000. So let me just say this more clearly. If there's anyone on social media, because this is a social media law Trudeau's introduced, if there's anyone who has a YouTube video, a tweet, a Facebook comment that you think creates hate, you can go to the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal and complain about it. You don't have to hire a lawyer. You don't have to spend any money. The government will have the hearing. And if your complaint is upheld, you get 20 grand from the victim. So instead of having maybe 20...
Wait. Who gets the 30, the remaining 30?
Oh, 20 goes to the complainant, and an additional 50 goes to the government. So you're on the hook for 70 grand a pop. So let's take someone like Jordan Peterson. Every day he's saying something controversial on YouTube, on Twitter. Oh, and by the way, this applies to all of your historical work that's online. So as long as it's still online and you control it,
oh my gosh,
they can go back through your history, 5 years, 10 years, and why wouldn't they complain about literally every tweet you make, literally every YouTube video? There's no cost. There's no downside. And even if only 5% of your complaints get through to the target, you're smacking them with 20 grand for yourself and a 50 grand fine. This will create a huge industry. So Trudeau saw what they were doing to Trump and said, I can do one better. I'm not going to have a few sniper shots. I'm going to have a shotgun blast. I'm going to have hundreds of complaints swarming my enemies, and I don't even have to do it. I will mobilize a woke army. But there's one more thing, and people can't believe it when I tell it to them, but it's right there in the law in black and white. You can make a complaint in secret. And
oh my
the target
gosh.
Of your complaint never gets to know your identity. You can give evidence in secret. The complaint can be made in secret. So you could have a company, a political party, a busybody who's literally filing 100 a day, and you'll never know it. And let me just be clear about one thing. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to have any standing. You don't have to be mentioned at all. You can just do this as a hobby, as an obsession, as a job, as a political vengeance. Maybe you're a disgruntled ex-employee. This is all in Bill C-63, and you take it all together. This is the most draconian anti-free speech bill anywhere in the world, other than, I suppose, Iran and China, who just do this stuff naturally.
And kill you.
Yeah.
So what does that mean to people like you, Ezra? Because you're going to be attacked. Rebel News is going to be attacked. You're out.
Let me go to first principles for 1 second. Let me tell you what they're doing at the basic principle level here. What is a hate crime? What's hate, Glenn? It's a human emotion. If you never feel any hate in your life, you don't have a fully formed personality. The challenge in life is to take these bad emotions and transform them into positive work, into reforming the world, into fixing a problem. Hate comes from an underlying grievance. So to pass a law to say we're going to ban hatred, that's impossible. If it were possible, we'd have passed the Love Each Other Act a long time ago and we'd be in heaven. So to criminalize a human emotion, it's insane. And that is what the law actually governs. The law, and I know because I was charged under a precursor to this law about 15 years ago when I published the Danish cartoons of Mohammed. I was charged with publishing something, quote, likely to expose a person to hatred or contempt, unquote. So it's a pre-crime. It's a future crime. And it's not to do any actual damage. It's just to hurt feelings. And that's the thing is it's so subjective. We're all guilty in advance.
But as
the Soviet secret police chief, Lavrentiy Beria, said, show me the man, I'll find you the crime. We're all guilty of having hate in our hearts. So it's just whoever they choose to prosecute who'll get dinged.
So tell me this won't pass in Parliament.
Well, the reason it was introduced this week is because last week, Justin Trudeau signed a new coalition agreement with a hard left-wing socialist party. Justin Trudeau does not have a majority of seats in our House. So he signed a coalition deal with an even worse party. And I fear this will be passed into law. And I fear, it'll take some time. They're setting up 3 new censorship agencies, not one, but 3. There will be 3 new censorship bureaucracies. And I think it's going to take them a number of months to get it going.
Months.
I think this will probably be operational in 2025. And then it's going to be the final battle, Glenn, because, this will bankrupt any critic of the regime. And then there's those pre-crime restraining orders. And then there's the actual criminal prosecution. They've created a standalone hate crime law for life in prison. Not even murder gets you that in Canada.
So if this passes, you've become a Stasi state, East Germany.
Yeah, the secret informants, the secret prosecutions, the secret witnesses. the subjective political nature of the crime, the three different agencies. And here, they have special rules for Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. They say if they get a complaint, a hate complaint, they must take it down within 24 hours or be subject to enormous fines. And so there's no way you can adjudicate if something is right or wrong or fair or not in 24 hours. And the fines are so enormous, basically a complaint will automatically get things taken down. Again, I'm going to tell you something now, and you're probably not going to believe me, but I swear it's in the text of the law. There are fines in there that can tag global social media companies 8% of their global revenue. So Justin Trudeau, sitting up here in Canada, says to Facebook, if you break my law, I will fine you 8% of your entire worldwide revenue. That's a $10 billion fine. Now, I think Facebook, YouTube, Google, et cetera, I think they're probably going to push back on this, or maybe they'll just leave Canada and Trudeau's going to be fine with that. Facebook has already left Canadian news because Trudeau said to them, you have to pay $100 million to our list of approved journalists for the pleasure of linking to them. And Facebook said, that makes no sense. We're getting out of the Canadian news business. You cannot post a Canadian news story on Facebook. It blocks it. Trudeau's fine with that because that hurts the independent guys like us. You cannot read Rebel News on Facebook. We're blocked, as are every other Canadian news source. We are becoming like China in that there's this great firewall of Canada going up. Trudeau would be happy shutting down any independent sources of news. Soon there will only be two kinds of journalists left in Canada: government journalists and banned journalists, Glenn.
David Menzies with Rebel News, and my question is for Mr. Guilbeault. Mr. Guilbeault, according to this press conference, it looks like this program is available for residents of the city of Peterborough. In that regard, it's reminiscent of the announcement last fall that only Atlantic Canadians would receive relief from the federal fuel charge if they heat their homes with heating oil. Given that your prime minister once said, a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian, why is it that only some Canadians qualify for relief and others do not?
Actually, the premise of your question is wrong. The home heating oil rebate applies to Canadians who use heating oil all across the country. And I'll give you an example. There are more people who heat their homes with oil in Quebec than in all of Atlantic Canada. So it's not a project, it's not a program that's specific to Atlantic Canadians. What we're announcing today is a partnership with the city of Peterborough, but we're announcing similar partnerships. And we've heard from the Canadian Federation of Municipalities that one in 2,100 similar programs have been funded through the Green Municipal Funds, and we're hoping to fund even more with those type of announcements. Thank you.
I get one right over here, y'all.
Mr. Guilbeault, as you walk to your vehicle, can I just grab your government wants Canadians to buy pricey EVs, to ride bicycles, to use public transit, yet you get chauffeured around in fossil fuel vehicles. Why the double standard, sir?
Oh, I took the train Monday morning from Montreal to Quebec City, and then I took the train back from Quebec City to Montreal. And this morning, I took the train from Montreal to Oshawa, and tomorrow I will be taking the train from Oshawa back to Montreal.
How did you get here today, sir, to this residential neighborhood?
So what I'm saying is that I try to modulate my transportation as possible, to use active transportation when it's possible, yes, use public transit when possible, and to use a car. And as you probably know, my service vehicle as environment and climate change minister is a fully electric vehicle.
That's one of the few.
Actually, it's not.
For cabinet, I mean.
It's not. All vehicles now, all cabinet vehicles, new purchases, uh-huh, are either fully electric or are plug-in hybrids.
And Mr. Guilbeault, what were you thinking last week when you said that the government would no longer invest in major road projects? How will Canadians get around? How will truckers get goods to market without roads?
I clarified that I was speaking specifically about the project called the Troisième Lien in Quebec City. Just in here in Peterborough since 2015, we funded 18 road projects representing more than $20 million.
Okay. Thank you. Now, is this a vehicle you're leaving in?
Yes.
Now, the RAV4 comes as a plug-in hybrid. I know that. Why is this a full fossil fuel gas burner?
Thank you very much. It's a hybrid.
This? Look, not a plug-in hybrid.
It's written here, hybrid.
But it doesn't have a green plate, sir. You know who has a plug-in hybrid, folks? Me and Lady Menzoid.
Is Britain still safe for Jews?
Yes, but it's tense. It's very tense. I mean, if there's a march every Saturday where there are people calling for your death and destruction, you can't say that that's a happy society.
What brings you out here today?
Well, the Shed guy, on Monday, is going to Ottawa for his court case. So we're just going there to support him. So.
We are all here in support of Jay.
Yay for Jay!
What made you go to the convoy in the first place?
Honestly, I was sitting in an excavator on a job site, and I honestly think it was the Holy Spirit that just told me, you gotta go, you gotta say something, stand up for the others.
Calm down.
Call the police.
Everybody calm down.
Pablo Rodriguez, do you think that Mr. Trudeau should resign and apologize to Canadians for violating constitutional right of Canadiens?
Pour assurer la sécurité. Vous faites votre travail, on fait notre travail. C'est plus simple que ça.
Appliquer les ordres.
Ben non.
Je suis désolé, là. Ben, faire votre travail.
On applique la loi et la jurisprudence.
La loi et la jurisprudence?
Absolument.
OK. Comment vous expliquez que vous avez arrêté injustement un journaliste à Toronto, la GRC? Comment vous l'expliquez, celle-là? Parce que clairement, vous l'avez relâché sans aucune accusation. Donc. Clairement, vous l'avez arrêté injustement.
Okay.
Donc, comment vous justifiez ça? Vous n'avez rien à dire par rapport à ça, par exemple? OK. Ça devient quand même assez clair pour qui c'est où ce que vous venez.
Il s'appelle le pouvoir discrétionnaire. Obligé de dire.
Mr. Trudeau, the federal court has ruled that the Emergencies Act was unconstitutional. Would you resign or apologize to Canadians for violating their rights? Of course, Mr. Trudeau is not answering any questions since we are not deemed acceptable media. So, he looked at me with a smile. Can you believe that? The federal court has ruled that the Emergencies Act was unconstitutional. So that means that Mr. Trudeau did violating the constitutional rights of Canadians. And Mr. Trudeau is not answering a question regarding that. How many truckers, how many Canadians were beat up by RCMP and police? And on an unconstitutional invocation of a law. So you can see Mr. Trudeau is just in this suburban right there and is not deemed to answer a question regarding that. Mr. Trudeau, what do you think? I would jump on the car. Mr. Trudeau, the federal court has ruled that the Emergencies Act was unconstitutional. Would you apologize or resign to Canadians for violating their rights?
Why is your government supporting Islamo Nazis?
What?
Excuse me. What are you doing?
Don't.
You're under arrest for assault.
What, sir?
Why are you pushing me?
You cannot just say, because I'm a police officer, I can do everything I want.
Aren't you insulted with Justin and them being in there for that memorial?
Miss Freeland, where are you running away?
The fact that journalists are present to hold governments to account makes governments better.
Transparency builds citizens' faith and confidence in their governments and in democracy.
That's why journalists must have the ability to report facts freely and to defend, expose, and advance the truth without fear of retaliation, reprisal, violence, or imprisonment.
I mean, I know your government paid a terrorist, our homegrown Al-Qaeda guy, $10.5 million, Omar Khadr. Did you support that?
I have no tolerance for people who sympathize with terrorists. Gotcha. Absolutely not.
Death to an entire group as a blanket statement is absolutely wrong.
Yeah, some need help, but there's also stuff that we don't want bringing here.
Civil society, the pluralistic society is falling apart.
Oh, we're not part of the demonstrators, sir.
I know, but I was just explaining to them earlier.
Yeah.
You're recording, post it on social media. People are going to come and be like, well, they're standing on the bridge. Why can't I stand on the bridge?
We're journalists. But we're not the pro-Hamas people chanting for genocide.
I understand, but let me...
You know, officer, I understand your position, but we're not hanging banners and, flags over the...
Okay. If you want to file a complaint, by all means, go file a complaint. But at this time, we've been directed that no one, regardless of who you are, whether you're a journalist or not, you're not to stand on that bridge. If you don't agree with that, you're more than welcome to go file a complaint. More than welcome.
So if he stands on the bridge, are you going to arrest him?
So we have authority for obstruct public and obstruct police. If you stand on the bridge, you will be arrested, right? So you can't be standing.
No, yo lo encontré por ahí por México. Le pregunté cómo es de mí.
Sí.
Que con la gente que él había venido se cruzaron y lo dejaron, pero me parece que él dice que lleva una notita, no sé, lleva un número.
¿Tiene alguien que va a responder por él ya llegando?
No sé, tal vez algún familiar por aquí. No somos de la misma comunidad ni del mismo lugar. Yo soy de una aldea y él vive adentro del pueblo.
¿Mismo área? ¿El mismo área?
No sabría, no, nunca lo he visto.
¿No soy del mismo aldea?
No.
No son del mismo.
No.
Cuando cruzaste el bosque, ¿cómo estaba el paseo?
Malo.
Hay ladrones allí,
sí,
matones,
de todas
y había muchos problemas.
Sí, sí, hasta teníamos que salir corriendo con nuestras vidas.
¿Y había gente que murieron ahí o
muertos?
¿Más ahí tirados o miras que
hablan nomás? De hace tiempos.
Oh, okay. ¿Y los papás? ¿Dónde están los papás? ¿Ya están acá?
No reconocieron.
They didn't know the dads.
No?
The dads aren't there.
Wow. And how did we survive here?
Whose phones? You give them the phones? ¿Para dónde van ustedes? ¿Hay alguien que va a responder por ustedes? ¿Tiene familia aquí en los Estados Unidos?
Sí.
¿Los tres?
Sí.
¿Primas?
Sí.
Cousins. ¿El papá de este? ¿No lo conoces? ¿Era novio o era algo diferente?
They're about to pray. They're about to pray.
Guys, excuse me. We're trying to put him behind the
camera. Hey, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Stop.
Stay back, guys. Stay back. Hey, stay back. Stay back. Stop pushing forward.
Did you see what that showed? There was a pro Hamas protester. You probably recognize him. He's the guy who shouts hateful things at synagogues, at Jewish schools. He's the one who has been leading the Hamas rallies around Toronto. David was trying to interview him and he said, I'm going to pray in the middle of the street right now. Okay, well, you go ahead. It's a public street. David can stand there. But no, the police came and pulled David off the street as if it became suddenly a Sharia street, a mosque or something. And then they later arrested him. They claimed he didn't show his ID.
Hey,
I'm far enough, buddy.
I'm not shoving you, sir. I'm standing here. You're impeding me.
I'm standing already. You're on the bush. I'm not violent.
Are you going to listen to me? It's a police investigation.
Are you going to arrest
me, too? Don't get smart. I asked you to step away, okay?
What's your badge number?
731, sir.
Thanks, bud.
That's your bud. Sir,
I can record my coworker, right?
Do whatever you like.
Okay. I never repeated anything. Watch.
It's what I tell you. Are you listening or not? That's better. That's a good place. So,
don't do your job. I'll do mine, right?
Okay. You'll be under arrest for respect, please.
Here we go.
Stop. That's my wallet. You're under arrest for fucking police.
There we go.
What is this?
I've asked you for identification numerous times. You failed to identify yourself. That's just fucking police.
Efren, can you grab my stuff?
We'll get it, sir. Don't worry. Nobody will touch it. We'll get your identification for you.
Okay. I think you guys are going to be hearing from our lawyers.
Yep, sure. I'll get them, sir. Don't worry. Nobody will touch your property. Ian, walk him back behind the gate. Thanks, brother.
You want him where, sir?
Take him back behind the gate. Thanks, guys.
Menzies is here.
I promise you on behalf of our viewers that we will not only defend you against their bullshit charges, but we will take the fight to them and sue them for not only the torts they committed against you, but also the charter violations. I'm so sorry you went through this. I thank you on behalf of our company and our viewers.
Ezra, it was a surreal experience. I'm so sorry you and Efren have wasted hours of your night here, and it was the least thing I expected. You know, it was very funny. The pro-Hamas people, they can be violent. And we were talking in the morning meeting. We're not sure we have enough time to get security. And I said, oh, well, the Prime Minister there, there'll be security galore. There'll be RCMP, there'll be police. We don't need security. And I was thinking in terms of being protected from Hamas. I didn't think the police would do a stitch up to them. Again, it's deja vu from January.
Well, we got it on tape. Efren was there, and we have it on tape where the police grabbed you and pulled you out.
What is going on?
We just want you.
What's the problem?
Guys, excuse me. We're trying to put him behind the. Hey, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Stop.
You take care of the
wall. We have the false arrest itself.
We'll be under arrest for a second, please.
Here we go. Hey, stop.
That's my wallet. You're under arrest for fucking police.
There we go.
What is this? I've asked you for identification numerous times. You failed to identify yourself. That's just fucking police.
Efren, can you grab my stuff? We'll get it, sir. Don't worry. Nobody will touch it. We'll get your identification for you.
Okay. I think you guys are going to be hearing from our lawyers.
Yep, sure.
I'm looking at my watch. It's 12:18 a.m.
Yes.
You've been arrested for... I think you've been in custody for 4 hours or so.
That sounds right.
Now, were you physically hurt during the arrest?
I don't think so. I mean, I've got this screwed up shoulder, but, you know, that's been an ongoing issue. But, no, I can't say that. But, again, Ezra, it, It's not the assault, it's the charter.
Oh, I know. It's your freedom of the press, but also your freedom of religion. Why should you have to move because some guy says this is holy sidewalk?
What?
Your freedom of mobility to move around? It's all violated, not by the Hamas guys, but by the police.
Yeah, and you know, it's amazing. The reason why we're there, Israel, is that we were asking the pro-Hamas people on the other side of the cordoned off area by the police, to get comments. And then we knew the anti-Trudeau people were on the other side, led up by Derek, constant fixture. So we went there to interview him. That happened to be where this impromptu prayer session was going to take place. And I say it was going to take place because they weren't in any kind of prayer when I got there.
It was a ruse.
Yeah. And I was looking for Derek, and then I recognized the individual who had stolen Lincoln J's camera.
Rather than one.
Yes.
He's the thug. He's the leader of these Hamas thugs.
He seems to be getting the orders these days, the law enforcement.
Well, I mean, if he doesn't have them delivering coffee to him,
yeah,
he's giving them orders. Yeah, I got one more question before I forget. What was the cell you were in like? And I know you've been arrested before, for example, in Montreal. Just tell me what it was like in the holding cell.
You know, it was cleaner than Montreal. I will say this, Ezra, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. When you are sitting in a concrete cell and you don't have a book or a magazine or a cell phone, time crawls at a snail's pace. That's the first thing. The second thing is, it's just a sanitary issue. There is a toilet right beside that little, you know, concrete bed, but there's no warm water, there's no soap, there's no toilet, you know, and
no toilet.
I know. I don't understand. And it looked like somebody had taken paper towels and put some sticky stuff on it and had thrown it up to the ceiling, because you're lying there and you have nothing to do. You're looking at the ceiling and there's all these like paper towels that have hit adhesed.
It's so gross. And you know what? It's that way on purpose as a kind of humiliation. How are the police themselves? I mean, we saw some of the folks who arrested you. How were you treated when you were brought here and when you were put in the cell?
They were friendly, I will say that. They were doing their job.
And you got a phone call from the lawyer, Leora Shemesh?
I did, indeed.
Okay. I spoke to Leora. And did she, how long did you speak with her for?
Probably a good 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay.
And she basically said she'll be representing me and, take the paperwork, which I have, and she'll go to the court.
So we crowdfunded Leora Shemesh. We did a quick video of your arrest.
Okay.
And I want to say thanks to viewers who have chipped in at standwithdavid.com. We're not just going to play defense on this. I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine you're sick of it.
Yeah.
We're going to sue the Toronto police because they have become politicized and biased. There's two-tier policing. They are violating the charter rights of journalists. And no one has said no to them yet. Not the mayor, not the police chief, not the Toronto Star. So we're going to say no to them. We're going to ask a judge to say no to them. And we've done this before for other journalists. Our friend Avi Amini in Australia, he was falsely arrested again and again and again until we sued the police. And they actually wrote him a lengthy apology. We're suing the RCMP. We're going to sue the Toronto police. And we will not abide the abuse from the Hamas thugs, nor will we abide it from the Toronto police. And I want to tell you that. I don't want to keep you longer. Have you had a chance to call your wife since you got out?
No, I haven't.
You know, I'm sure she wants to get a call from you. We'll let you go because it's really late.
Yeah.
I would just say to our viewers at home and around the world, 200,000 people have watched the video of your arrest in the last hour. So people are outraged, as they should be. On behalf of Rebel News and myself, I want to thank people for standing with David. And I pledge to you that we will not stop simply with his acquittal. We will continue thereafter to go after the police until a judge puts them in the right place. Last question, what were you charged with?
It was, I think it was causing a disturbance
And
you had a Hamas intifada near riot, and they charged you with causing it.
Yeah, and let's see. This is the detective that we have to deal with, Ezra. And also, the second charge was violating my peace bond based on the fake arrest of the LCBO manager, Ashley Metella, who falsely accused me of assault. So I had to sign a peace bond, which...
Struck peace officer, breach of peace bond.
Yeah.
Absolutely outrageous, and I, we're not going to let this stand. We're not going to let Toronto turn into Gaza. David, let's get you calling your wife.
Okay.
And we'll say goodnight and thanks to our viewers.
Cheers. Thank you, Efren. Thank you, everybody.
Well, that's our show for the day. Until next time, on behalf of all of us here at Rebel World Headquarters to you at home, good night, and keep fighting for freedom.